teaching from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Let me go ahead and read the scripture. The Lord called Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you call me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you call me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you call me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." So today, Elder Torrance will be speaking on the topic of hearing God's voice.
All right, good morning. Glad to see so many of you here. It seems quite different, right, when the youth aren't with us. It seems like, well, where did half of our congregation go? Where did all of our younger friends go? So you guys are going to have to bring the energy this morning, okay? All right. Well, okay, I've been looking forward to bringing this message to you guys this morning. It's based a lot on some things that I've learned over the years. So hopefully you won't mind some of the stories that I share. It's a bit of a testimony and a bit of a Bible teaching. So why don't we just get right to it? Quick show of hands, if you're willing to. How many of you have like a smart home or a voice-controlled device or devices in your home that you use? Okay. All right. How many of you use the voice control of your phone? Your Siri or your... what? Not Siri. What? Your Google Assistant. Your Cortana, your Bixby, your... whatever that may be. Well, it seems like these days, everyone's home is getting smarter, right? Everyone's home is getting more secure. But things weren't always like that. I'm a hardware product designer by training and also by profession. So I get to work on a lot of the latest consumer products before they get announced or launched or whatnot, working with tech titans, well-funded startups, Kickstarters, Indiegogo type folks and whatnot. And I'm really proud to have worked on a bunch of products over the years that have made it to market. And one of them that I'm particularly proud of is the August Smart Lock. I don't know if any of you have heard of it, the August Smart Lock? Okay, yeah, all right. Maybe I shouldn't be so proud, right? Okay, well, or maybe I'm just ahead of my time, right? All right, well, there's a... that product was first released a couple of years ago, and there was an article in Forbes magazine that mentioned it that was kind of humorous, and I thought that I would start there today. Marcus, a 31-year-old man living in Springfield, Missouri, decided to go all in on the smart home, right? This was a few years ago, so it's this bleeding-edge stuff. A diehard fan of the Apple ecosystem, he began outfitting his house with gadgets certified as Works with Apple HomeKit. Are you guys familiar with that? Works with Apple HomeKit. And by the end of his shopping spree, he had 30 Philips Hue LED lights, 2 Ecobee thermostats, along with 8 temperature sensors, and an August smart lock. Yay! He was also several thousand dollars poorer. Boo! Everything worked flawlessly. His front door would automatically unlock as he walked up to his house. And when his phone got within a certain distance, right, because with this product, the proximity of the phone to the lock, it would sense you coming and would unlock it for you, so you just need to open the door. So the lights would brighten in his home gradually after he woke up, and he observed, I work long 10-hour days. Having things automated lets me sleep better. And for the month I've been using this stuff, I love it. But there was one problem lurking below the surface of his setup. Marcus had placed an iPad Pro in his living room to serve as a central voice-controlled hub for his smart home. Without pressing a button, he could say things like, Hey, Siri, lights. And the lights around him would dim. And by placing the iPad in the living room, he could control the August smart lock, over a Bluetooth connection. And so he had this all set up, and his jazz worked beautifully. He invited over his neighbor, Mike, to check out his smart home. So one day, as Marcus was pulling out of the driveway, his neighbor, Mike, walked over and asked if he could borrow some flour. Marcus responded, sure. And as he started to get out of the car to let him in, his neighbor, Mike, said, I'll let myself in. He ran over to the door and shouted, Hey, Siri, unlock the door. And the door unlocked. See, these were the early days, bleeding-edge voice technology stuff going on. Yeah, the iPad Pro that was sitting in the living room was able to hear the neighbor, Mike, through the front door and issue the unlock command, right? Marcus was a little surprised. He was a little stunned. And they laughed it off, and hopefully they're still good friends and neighbors. But this technology vulnerability has since been resolved with the upgrade of Apple Siri to differentiate amongst voices and only respond to authorized ones. So if any of you have upgraded your iPhone in the past few years, then you'll know you need to train Siri to recognize your voice, right? If you all pulled out your phones right now and I started saying, Hey Siri, do this, Hey Siri, do that, none of your phones should respond to me. Only mine would. Hopefully it's not buzzing away like crazy. Every time I say, Hey Siri, it's buzzing away in my backpack right now. Voice recognition is an age-old issue. It happened in the account we read with Samuel and Eli. A third time the Lord called, Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli, and he said, Here I am. You called me. And then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. See, the young boy Samuel couldn't respond to God's calling because he didn't recognize God's voice. Eli recognized this deficiency, though, and he trained Samuel to listen and respond to God. You can't follow God if you don't recognize his voice. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, we thank you that you're here this morning. You're awesome. You're wonderful. What we just sang to you, Lord, was our offering from our hearts to declare that you're the best. You are the greatest. And not in some casual, fun way, but in an unbelievable, incredible way. Why would you have anything to do with us when we've rejected you? When we turn our hearts against you all the time, we fail you, yet your love pursues us. How passionate are you for us? Lord, we pray that we would be that same way to you. We turn our hearts, our ears, our minds to you this morning and ask that as we hear your word, that it would penetrate deeply into our lives, that you would speak to us in a way where we would recognize that it's you who have something to say to us. And give us the courage to respond when it may be inconvenient for us to do so, when it may be painful, perhaps, to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In my early Christian years, almost 30 years ago, it's hard to believe, but in my early Christian years, I was faithful and eager to follow Bible teachings. And being very engineering-minded, I gravitated towards parts of the Bible where things were very clear. Guidelines for Christian living, they're spelled out in, say, like the book of James or in the Proverbs. See, rules for Christian living I could understand pretty well, but I struggled to know God's will when there wasn't clear guidance. Reading comprehension was never my thing in grade school. I was eager to obey, but didn't know how to hear God's voice. I longed to hear an audible voice, right? Longed to hear an audible voice from God, the way that he called Samuel, so I could understand his clear guidance for me. I felt discouraged when it seemed like I never heard from God, or maybe it was that I was unable to recognize his voice, even though it said in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." How is it that we recognize a familiar voice? Have you ever thought about that? How do you recognize a familiar voice? Your mother's voice, for example. Your spouse's. Your children's. Your siblings. Your best friends. How do you instantly recognize which actor is voicing that animated character in a feature film? James Corden, Arnold Schwarzenegger, The Rock, Mariah Carey. How do you recognize these voices just like that? And isn't it amazing when parents can tell when there's 25 kids crying in some other room down the hallway that it's their child calling, crying, right? What I've learned is that knowing someone's voice comes from having a deep relationship, one that's cultivated through time and experiences together. And it's the same way with our God. He too is someone whose voice we can come to recognize. But how? How does he speak? I found a helpful framework as I worked through the Experiencing God workbook by Henry Blackaby many years ago. In it, one of the things that he says is that God speaks by his Holy Spirit through prayer, the Bible, circumstances, and godly others. And this morning we're going to explore those four ways. But first, let's stop and consider, what does it mean speaking by his Holy Spirit? Sounds kind of mystical. It's important that we have this basic understanding of the Holy Spirit. So let's consider what Jesus himself had to say from John 14:26. "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." If you're familiar with the Bible and you've read Acts, then you'll know there in chapter 1 that when the Holy Spirit came on believers, amazing things happened. Truly amazing things happened. And this same Holy Spirit, God himself, indwells every Christian. He teaches us and reminds us of what Jesus said. And if we want to follow Jesus, we have to be alive. Alive in Christ and indwelled by his Holy Spirit. So if you want to know God, if you want to hear his voice, and if you want to follow him, you've got to start by taking another step in your faith journey to Christ. Why put it off any longer? Why not follow Christ today? Find Pastor Jamie or myself if this is something that you feel God's placed on your heart that you want to explore a little bit more. Do it today. All right, with that, let's explore the four different ways that we can hear God's voice by the Holy Spirit. First one, God speaks by his Holy Spirit through prayer. When I started following Christ, I had a passion to live in a way to maximize my impact for God. I felt like I was catching up for 20 years of non-Christian fun living. And that's why I felt that to make up for it, or that it was time to make the most of the life that I had left. I wanted to enter full-time vocational ministry and to serve as a pastor. I felt that that must be God's call for my life. I was willing to give up a promising engineering career, and I prayed earnestly. I prayed a lot that God would release me from the riches of engineering and allow it to happen. I wanted to serve God so badly, in fact, that Nicole and I argued, well, I should say that I argued with Nicole about this a lot, especially in our early years of our marriage. You laugh now, but we didn't laugh then. It was not fun. I don't know. Well, let's keep going. All right. So, and Nicole knows that I'm sharing. Anything that I mentioned about Nicole during today's message has been approved by Nicole Liu. All right. Yeah, I wanted to serve God in full-time vocational ministry so bad. But over time and through many prayers, I came to agree with Nicole. As I sensed God's Spirit quietly convicting me in my heart, that what was actually happening was that I was striving for something that was not according to God's purpose, that wasn't according to God's timing. And so as we prayed about it together more, there was a firm sense of clarity that God wanted me to serve Him with energy and purpose in the workplace, and then also here in the local church as well. And if you know kind of how the story has turned out, it's kind of funny because Nicole is the one who's on staff here at Canaan Church, and I am the what was it, minister spouse or director. So it's ironic or even silly that I was so focused at that time on my prayer that I failed to hear God say no to me. I learned that prayer is more than asking God for His blessing on my decisions or asking for His help on my well-intentioned plans. There is a listening component to prayer too. And that's why God gave us two ears and one mouth. So when we pray, we should be listening. Looking back, I realized that I had been more like Martha than Mary, if you're familiar with that story. Remember that Jesus said Mary made the better choice than her sister Martha. And why is that? Mary made time to sit at Jesus' feet with no agenda, while her sister Martha was distracted and very busy with her own agenda. So with that, I thought I might share a couple of ways that God has helped me hear His voice through prayer. Still before God. It's in a posture of stillness that we can more keenly hear God speak. In Lamentations it says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the person who seeks Him. It is good that He waits silently. Let him sit alone and be silent." We honor God. We honor Him by expressing our willingness to be still in His presence. And it takes great discipline, friends here in the Silicon Valley, to be still and to have no agenda. Something else, journal in prayer. Write your prayers to God and wait for His response. Writing helps us to stay focused and to probe our thoughts and to consider our heart's desires more deeply. Write something you want to tell God and then listen. Ask the Holy Spirit to provide wisdom and understanding to what you're praying. A couple of questions that I would have for you to consider. What adjustments must I make to hear God's voice through prayer? And then, what comes to mind, or who comes to mind, as you listen to God in prayer? A second way that God speaks by His Holy Spirit is through the Bible. Yep, the Bible. It's old. And there's a lot that may not seem applicable, especially from the Old Testament. But God wrote it, what he says is true, and when we read the Bible, the Holy Spirit makes it come alive and brings clarity so we feel as if God is speaking directly to us. Have you ever felt that there was a sermon, a podcast, a Bible study passage, a devotional, something like that, that was written exactly for your specific circumstance before? Maybe spookily so? Eerily so? If it seems like a coincidence, consider that it could actually be God's voice speaking into your life. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Now, Psalm 37 is one of these parts of the Bible that I have read and prayed through many, many times. But I understood this in a new and personal way when I was single at a time when I felt that I was ready to marry, but was still waiting to meet someone special. At that time, I'll be honest, I was impatient with God about being single, and I grumbled in my heart against him. At some point, I came across this verse again, and I felt like something was jumping out at me, and I had to read it again. As I considered it, as I thought about it word by word, and considered why this particular verse may be causing this sort of a reaction, I realized that God was convicting me about my impatience. He's also comforting me and reminding me that a love relationship with him comes before a love relationship that I might have with my future wife. By meditating on this verse, God allowed me to embrace and even enjoy my time before meeting and marrying Nicole. Also, Isaiah 45, verses 2 and 3. "I will go before you and will level the mountains." Consider what that looks like, right? To level a mountain. "I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron." I work with metal all the time at work. That's no easy thing to do. "I will give you hidden treasures." I wish I had hidden treasures. "Riches stored in secret places." Still looking. "So that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name." It was during an agonizing period of my life 10 years ago, I'll spare you the details momentarily, that God spoke to me through these verses to remind me that he's firmly in control when circumstances seem to show that he is not. God reminded me in my trouble that he knows me, and he wants me to know him too, and that he's able, more than able, to handle any circumstance in my life if he's able to do this. And by considering these verses, I sense God's affirmation that despite the pain that I was experiencing, that he was with me all along the way. So take notice. Take notice when a particular word, a phrase, or a passage in the Bible gets your attention. Go back. Meditate on it. Ask God if there's something that he's saying. This is why it's so important to memorize Scripture. Putting Bible verses into memory is not just for kids. It's also for adults. I'm amazed when I consider how often Bible verses that I've memorized, maybe just very recently, or ones that I've memorized 10, 20, 25 or more years ago, come to mind at just the right time. And had these verses not been already hidden in my heart, like it's described in Psalm 119, God wouldn't be able to prompt those verses at just the right time. you know, I don't aim for perfection anymore. The older I get, my memory fails me a little bit more. But I know, even with Bible verses that I memorized a long time ago, I might remember just a key word or a phrase. It goes something like this, or it says something like that. But these days, with the internet, with the internet or my Bible app, right, I'm able to search for and discover what the full verse is. And that enables me to explore why is it that God may have brought that to mind. To hear God speaking through the Bible, it's also important to meditate on Scripture. After reading or studying the Bible, identify one verse, a phrase, and meditate on it. That means to ponder it, to consider it, kind of chew on it, figuratively, chew on it. Slowly repeat it, say it in different ways, emphasize different words each time that you read it again. Ask, pray, God, what do you want to say? Meditating on a familiar verse and asking questions can reveal something that we might be overlooking. So I've got a couple of questions to ask you. What adjustments must I make today to hear God's voice through the Bible? And then also, what Bible verses come to mind as I commit my concerns to God? There's a third way that God speaks by His Holy Spirit, and it's through circumstances. There are times when God says, go, and there are times when God says, no. Consider the Apostle Paul. There were times, definitely, when the Lord said no to him. His missionary plans, the timing of them, the details of them, they were frequently blocked, adjusted, because of emerging circumstances. Stuff happened. He was jailed. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He faced opposition. He was run out of town. I think one hand is enough. The list goes on and on and on, if you're familiar with the account of his ministry. But in each of these instances, he was able to discern God's purpose through the perspective of the impact of the gospel and ministry direction. So may we be as wise, as patient, as flexible as Paul when circumstances appear to wreck our well-intentioned plans. Why fight God when he speaks through circumstances? Right? Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So yeah, sometimes God says no. But oftentimes, he says go. During a church summer retreat, a Canaan church summer retreat, around 15 years ago, I think it is, Nicole and I each individually had a sense that God could be calling us to serve on a short-term mission. We had been, reluctant, maybe a better word would be resistant, for years to participate in any sort of missions activity, and especially to Asia. And especially to China. I don't know why, but we were resistant. Didn't want to go there. And so for either one of us to have a sense that God might be calling us to do that, to go on mission would have been remarkable on its own. But for the both of us to sense it, that same compulsion from God, time, for us was confirmation that God, that this was God's calling on our life. So we obeyed. And yes, God called us to serve in China. And no, I did not know much Mandarin at the time. But there's a whole other message there. But the point here is that God speaks by His Holy Spirit through circumstances. So a couple of questions for you. What's happening in my life through which God might be speaking? And what personal objections must I recognize and release to obey God's calling? God speaks through circumstances, and may we be aware of how He is doing so. A fourth way that God speaks by His Holy Spirit is through godly others. If you're familiar with the Old Testament, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, there is an account of King David who dreamed of honoring God by building a temple for him. The prophet Nathan gave him the blessing, the thumbs up, to do so. But David obeyed and did not build the temple when God spoke through the prophet Nathan that this plan, that God's plan, was not for David to build the temple, but for his son Solomon instead. In Proverbs 19, again verse 20, says, "Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future." Have you ever given up a dream or saw it delayed because you received wise counsel from godly others? I have. When Nicole and I began dating, this was a long time ago. When Nicole and I began dating, we were certain early on that God was leading us to marriage. We were 100% sure of it. And very early on, probably too early on. But there was a big roadblock to marriage. My parents. They insisted that my older brother should be married first. Very, very traditional Asian-y, Chinese-y stuff happening here. Yeah, they insisted that my older brother be married first. Well, we thought this was unreasonable because my brother wasn't dating at the time. You agree. But my parents insisted. My brother, he urged my parents to just let them marry first. I don't know, you know, I don't know when I'm going to date. I don't know when it's going to happen. They're ready. They want to. But my parents, they stood their ground, and they wouldn't approve. So we felt stuck. We sought the godly counsel of a retired missionary couple that we respected. Many of you know them, Dr. Hans Wilhelm and his wife Alice. But we were very disappointed by what they said. They recommended that we wait, for my parents' approval for marriage. Nicole and I, we prayed about this, and we eventually accepted God's wisdom on the matter. We weren't happy initially about it, and we weren't happy many times afterwards, but wait, we did. And while it wasn't what we preferred, God honored our waiting. He honored our patience. Through a year of waiting, it felt like 2 years, God worked in my parents' non-Christian hearts to change their position, right? To change their position and happily bless us and allowed us to marry before my brother. Maybe they just realized that he still isn't dating, and we can't lose this wonderful Nicole. I'm sure that has something to do with it. With the benefit of hindsight, I can now look back and consider what damage would have been done if I had argued and pushed my parents, my non-Christian parents, into letting me marry first when they weren't ready. Would Nicole's in-law relationship with my parents be as affectionate and as close today if we didn't wait then? Would my parents, who are still not believers to this day, be as open to attending church today if we pressured them all those years ago? Waiting was the right call, and we wouldn't have considered it if God didn't speak by His Holy Spirit through the wisdom of godly others. So consider, what regular circle of Christian community must I nurture through which God might speak into my life? the downside of being a Lone Ranger Christian, right? I worship God on my own. I listen to K-Love. I get my podcasts. I stream Saddleback from LTV at home. The danger of Lone Ranger Christians is that how is God going to speak to you through godly others if there's no godly others in your life? And whose wise counsel should I seek and obey today? Whose wise counsel should I seek and obey today? Okay, so we've explored four ways that God speaks by His Holy Spirit. But there is one more thing. Seek confirmation. Seek confirmation. In Acts 16, verses 16 to 40, I don't have them up on the slide here. There is an account of Paul and Silas in jail when a violent earthquake shook the foundations of the prison. All of the prison doors flew open, and all of the prisoners' chains came loose. Rather than interpreting these circumstances as a sign from God to escape and be free, Paul recognized the importance of staying. Somehow, because he sensed God's activity and purpose at that moment, he saved the jailer from killing himself. He shared the good news that night with the jailer and the jailer's whole household, and they were all baptized that night. That's pretty amazing. And it just goes to underscore and reinforce how critical it is to seek confirmation when you think you've heard of God's voice. Earlier I mentioned that I was in a very difficult, painful situation 10 years ago. And it was a work-related situation. We all experience pain in work at some point or another. And 10 years ago, I really felt stuck in a very, very unbearable job situation that I was desperate to escape. I was stressed all day long, and I found myself having dreams about work, stressful dreams about work that were even worse than like my actual day-long stress of doing the work. So it was this around-the-clock living nightmare, this cycle of dread about work. And it didn't take long for me to sink into a really deep depression. I just lost all zest for life. I was angry. I kind of pulled back from community. I was short-tempered. I'm sure I was rude. Sorry to all of you. I dreamed every minute of happier options of hitting the eject button on what I was going through. Well, I interviewed for this other job, and thankfully I received an offer, which was awesome. And so the circumstances suggested that it was finally time to escape this misery. But by praying together with Nicole, we confirmed that it wasn't God's plan. It wasn't God's timing, perhaps, for me to accept that offer. So I stayed in the unbearable job situation. That's not the end of the story. That would be very disappointing. A year later, I was recruited by this same company, and I received a better offer with a promotion. And the circumstances seemed to suggest that finally, it was time to escape this misery while advancing professionally. But through prayer again with Nicole, what do I pray with her? We were able to hear God's voice and discerning that accepting the offer was, again, not God's plan for us at the time. And once again, I stayed in my job. Sure, God had me there for whatever reason. And then over the course of the next few months immediately afterward, I saw God completely change all of the circumstances at my work. with regards to the leadership, stuff that was going on with projects, difficult colleagues, moved on, or were suddenly... all the circumstances completely changed to where I was very happy at work. Same job, same company, same group, but everything got changed. I was amazed and so glad that I endured in obedience. And it was through this trying time that I learned two things. One, that God is more concerned about my character than my comfort. He's more concerned about my holiness than my happiness. He's concerned about my happiness too, of course, but my holiness is a greater priority. But that's a whole other message to unpack from that nugget there. And the second thing that I learned was the importance of seeking confirmation when I think that I've heard from God. And maybe the third thing is that when I pray with Nicole, that like stuff happens. It's amazing. So pray together. Seek confirmation. God is alive. He's active in this world, and He calls us into a relationship with Him. He invites us to be part of His kingdom activity. Knowing our part requires an ever-deepening relationship with Him that's evidenced by the ability to hear His voice and also to obey His leading. God's voice may not be an audible voice that the young Samuel heard when God called his name, but He does speak, and He does it by His Holy Spirit, and He does it in a number of different ways as we've considered this morning. We can discern and understand how God speaks to us by His Holy Spirit as we grow into greater depths of relationship with Him. Consider 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. So let it be our heart's desire to know God so well that we will recognize His voice whenever He speaks, and to love God so much that we'll obey Him, even when it's inconvenient or painful to do so. Let's pray. God, we thank You that You're alive, that You're active in this world, and You call us into relationship with You. You amaze us with the ways that You've led us and You've guided us. And we're committed to You, Lord, to respond to You in obedience, in faithfulness, in thankfulness, to respond to You in a way that honors You. It may not be easy for us. It may be exactly what we don't want to hear. But why do we call You Lord? Why do we call You our Master if we're going to choose our own way? So we lay down our ambitions and we put down our hopes and dreams and wait on You. Give us the courage to obey You when it's inconvenient, and teach us to delight in You while we wait. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for the wonderful message. Let's continue with the prayers of the people. God whispers to each of us, "You are my beloved, created in love for love." God breathed on us the Holy Spirit, knitting many members into one body, the body of Christ. God has yet more vision for the people. Who will work for God to extend God's kingdom into our hurting world?
Power us for Your work.
Here we are, Lord, humble and waiting. Then let us gather old and young, small and great, to dream God's dreams, receive God's power, and do God's deeds. Here we are, Lord. Amen.